What does it mean to be a leader in cancer care? At Davis Hospital Cancer Center, we know. It means a team of experts providing exceptional care using advanced technology and treatment plans designed specifically for each of our patients. And our nurse patient navigators are here to make your experience convenient and comfortable. To find out how our expert team could help you, contact us at davishospital.org. The Cancer Center at Davis Hospital and Medical Center, a Steward family hospital in partnership with physician owners.
To show you how easy it is to file a claim with GEICO, we hired fitness celebrity Billy Blanks.
Okay, everybody, our car just got a broken windshield. How about we blow off some steam? Now punch, now kick.
Mr. Blanks, there's no need to be stressed. GEICO makes it easy to file a claim online, on the app, or over the phone.
Yeah, but what if I never hear back? That's gonna make me wanna go jab and jab.
Nope. Your GEICO claims team is always there for you.
Okay, do I still get my post-workout protein shake?
Sure, Billy. GEICO, great service without all the drama.
Hey everybody, this is Isaac from IlluminatiWatcher.com, and you are listening to the Conspiracy Theories and Unpopular Culture podcast. If you are listening to this in the future, this is summer of 2016, and I recently was on a few shows, and these shows were graciously enough to me to let me borrow the audio and put it on my feeds for you guys, because I know a lot of you like these kind of interviews, so I'm plonking it into the podcast feed in the meantime, since Most of you that have been following me long enough know that booking guests and finding times to sit down with these people is difficult for me. I work full time, so I try to keep you guys entertained with stuff here and there. It's mostly with me rambling on about stuff on my own. So when I can get a good chance to get the interviews that I've done on other people's show and plug it into the feed, I do it. So today I've got a great show. It's the host, Jim Harold, on a show called Conspiracy Corner. Now, Jim Harold, he's got a lot of podcasts he does. He's a great host. He does the Paranormal podcast, if you've ever heard of that. He also does True Ghost Stories, Jim Harold's Campfire, so on and so forth. And what these shows are, in particular Conspiracy Corner, there's a subscription service. And when you pay for Jim Harold and his subscription service, you get all of his shows unlocked, including Conspiracy Corner. So this particular episode you're about to hear is a one that people pay for, but he was kind enough to let me borrow it and put it out on my feed. So, you know, if you want to support Jim Harold, you can go to jimharold.net. He's one of the most popular paranormal podcast hosts. He's got a couple free shows, but he's also got some premium shows that, like I said, you can subscribe to. Now, what makes this particular show great is that he lets a lot of the beginners get in on the ground level on a lot of the theories I talk about, a lot of conspiracy theories and the occult, the Illuminati, how it all ties together. So it's kind of a great, I don't want to say beginners because it's a little more advanced than beginners, but it's a great, you know, kind of entry level guide into this thing. So if you're new to this whole topic, this is the perfect show for you. As far as my stuff and updates on my website, you can go to IlluminatiWatcher.com, sign up for the free email newsletter, on which you will receive updates on the latest conspiracy theories and symbolism I'm finding in television shows, film, and so on, music videos, etc. You'll also unlock the archives, in which I'll send you an email periodically every couple days that shows you some of the older examples of things that have been happening in the last few years. The people are really enjoying. It's a lot of entertainment-based stuff that is people can grasp onto and understand what I'm talking about when I'm talking about conspiracy theories and the symbolism of the occult and how they, the Illuminati, are trying to deceive us. They are manipulating us through entertainment. And you'll hear a lot more about that on this Jim Harold interview I did. So without further ado, here it is. Jim Harold, Conspiracy Corner with Isaac Weishaupt.
I don't buy every conspiracy theory out there. In fact, you might say I'm a curious skeptic. But there is just enough evidence to consider the possibility that the powers that be are manipulating us like so many pawns on a chessboard. That's why we hear the theories out on Jim Harold's Conspiracy Corner. Welcome to Conspiracy Corner. I am Jim Harold, and so glad to be with you once again. And when you go down the rabbit hole of conspiracies, you never know where you might end up. And we have a gentleman that takes on a bit of a tour, Isaac Weishaupt. He is the author of A Grand Unified Conspiracy Theory, The Illuminati, Ancient Aliens, and Pop Culture. And it's really a wide-ranging work on the on this subject, which is a fascinating subject to me. It doesn't mean I buy each and every theory out there, but interesting stuff to look at. Isaac is the publisher of IlluminatiWatcher.com. He's an author, independent researcher, and he's been on the leading edge of conspiracy theories surrounding the elusive, quote, Illuminati and its supposed infiltration of the entertainment industry. Using examples of familiar pop culture and works of entertainment, Isaac has been speaking and writing about the occult from a unique perspective that seeks to understand the big agenda, he says there is, while helping others along the way. He's been a featured guest on Richard C. Hoagland's The Other Side of Midnight, Sirius XM's The All Out Show, The Higher Side Chats, Freeman Flies, The Free Zone, Mark Devlin's Good Vibrations, and many more radio shows and podcasts. His fresh perspective and openly admitted imperfections promote the rational approach to exploring these taboo subjects and conspiracy theories. Isaac Weishaupt, welcome to the program today.
Hi, Jim. Thanks for having me on. I plan to make a believer out of you yet, so let's see what we can get into.
I certainly believe in some of this. I mean, I do believe in some of these things. I do believe there's conspiracies out there. For example, if you look at something like the JFK assassination, and I think many times we are led to believe things that aren't exactly 100% true. Doesn't mean I wear a tinfoil hat or believe everything, but I'm really looking forward to this. So I guess I would start off. I mean, you've taken a look at all the different researchers out there, the theorists. Talk to us about some of the people in the field, people who you think are headed maybe down the right road, maybe some people who aren't. Talk to us about the field as it is in conspiracy theorists, because I know that's a part of your book.
Yeah, I've learned everything I needed to know from Bill Cooper to David Icke, Alex Jones, you know, the very mainstream kind of popular theorists. I've learned the basis of what to look for from them. And what I've done with that information is I've kind of spread it out and went down each path to see where it kind of leads. And where it all started, David Icke was kind of like the guy who was able to synchronize the data the best. However, a lot of his stuff, it gets very lengthy and it seems like a lot of information to take in. And originally what I wanted to do was try to explain David Icke's belief system in a way that people could make sense of and grasp it a little better, because I would watch these David Icke presentations and, you know, they're like 8 hours long. Sometimes his books are, I think they're up to like 1,000 pages a piece. And I'd say, man, this guy's really onto something. This really resonates with me. It makes a lot of sense. And I would try to talk to others about this, and I get the standard reaction that you get when you start going into the reptilian shapeshifter idea and all that stuff.
Right.
And what I wanted to do was kind of boil it down to something a little more graspable. And that's what I put in A Grand Unified Conspiracy Theory, is kind of like the basic kind of rational argument to support a lot of these conspiracy theorists that I have studied over these years, and try to present an argument that, like the example I always use is, this is a book I wanted to give to my mother and say, here's what I'm starting to get interested in, so that it doesn't seem so absurd.
Now, Icke, I'm interested in, because as we record this on May 31st, in late June, I have an interview scheduled with him. He's a hard guy to get a hold of, and I was excited about that. That'll be on our paranormal podcast show, but very excited about that. But I mean, it really has become a little cottage industry. In your book, you talk about Jesse Ventura, Giorgio from Ancient Aliens, of course, Bill Cooper, the late Bill Cooper, Alex Jones, George Norrie, who I've never really thought about as specifically a conspiracy theorist, but certainly one of the people who puts a spotlight on some of these theories, and of course, Joe Rogan, podcaster. So there really is an industry in this. I mean, and I'm not saying that in a pejorative way, but I think it's true.
Absolutely. There is a full kind of infrastructure within. And what's kind of interesting is that all those people that you mentioned, it's true, they are people that I've studied. And you're right, George Norrie, not necessarily a theorist, but more of an enabler to the theories. He's done a great job of putting the guests together and presenting their information, because he's, you know, very, very neutral when he does his interviews, and I appreciate that. The problem I'm finding, and this is just my path, I don't necessarily believe everyone needs to believe in my path, but it seems to me that a lot of these people are kind of disinformation agents, I think. And the reason I say that is because, like David Icke, for example, and I'm not talking bad about David Icke, he's truly been an inspiration to me and my research into all this stuff. He's got me to where I am today. But when you watch his stuff, when you listen to what he has to say, his solution of the way out of all this is a new age belief system. It's a lot of this Age of Aquarius kind of ideas. And a lot of these things, I believe, tie into the same stuff he's warning us about. When you look at a lot of these Eastern religions and making contact with these salvation extraterrestrials and channeling these spirits, I mean, that's essentially what you get into when you start going down his path, I believe. So I'm a little confused as to David Icke's true intentions, or maybe he's being deceived as well. I mean, it's hard to tell what's going on and who to believe and who to trust.
Yeah, it is like a hall of mirrors, because if you buy into the theory that part of this picture is disinformation by various entities, whether they be governmental, secret societies, or whatever, it becomes, who do you trust and who do you not trust? Now, one of the most fascinating things I think that you cover is this idea of Illuminati influences in the entertainment industry. And it's almost a joke now. I mean, my kids make jokes about my teenage girls. They're like, hold up that triangle sign and say Illuminati confirmed. And they don't even listen to my shows. But it's just become almost like a pop culture joke. Is it kind of like, well, let's make a joke of this so nobody believes it, do you think?
Oh yeah, for sure. That's definitely happening. And where I can, point to would be the MTV Video Music Awards.
Right.
For years I've been watching, and as a caveat, if people out there are going to my website, IlluminatiWatcher.com, if you look at some of the older posts, they're, you know, I had to cut my teeth on writing and blogging and figuring out how it went. So the newer ones are far better than the older ones, but I left them on there because the content's still there. And what I'm getting at here is, I've been for years watching these VMA performances and all this stuff because they're what they call the high profile ritual. And what it is, you know, you watch the Super Bowl halftime show or whatever, they put the symbol out there. And then I like to, you know, present the information, say, here's why this symbol is of importance to them. And here's why you saw that the VMAs or whatever. Well, now, and those were very popular posts. Right after I'd post them, I would get tons of hits on them because it was a trending topic. But after a couple of years of doing that, MTV themselves started kind of saying the same thing, but in a silly manner. Before the VMAs came on, they would write an article of why the 2015 VMAs are going to be the most Illuminati-filled events ever, or something like that. And they would kind of, you know, do some tongue-in-cheek funny stuff about it, which I think is meant to throw people off the trail of the true purpose and the power of symbols, because those symbols, they talk to us on a subconscious level, and the Illuminati, or whatever you want to call these people, they know this, they understand this, and they're trying to steer all of society down a certain path because they believe that they are the sort of force meant to evolve us in what we call the evolution of consciousness. They think they're responsible for all of society to head down a path into this new age of mankind.
Interesting. Now, how widespread is this? I mean, do the artists know about it? Is it just, you know, the high muckety mucks who are running the different studios and recording companies and media companies? Are those the people that know, or does it go down to the actual artists?
I think some of the artists may understand it. I don't think that all of them do. I think most of them are definitely just making, you know, they're making the deals that do whatever it is they need to do in order to get the airplay and the access and the publicity, because, you know, Hollywood and the music industry, those are very manufactured pieces of entertainment. And if you talk to anyone from the industry, they'll tell you that. And that's why, you know, that's why you see these people, you know, they'll subject their own children to these vampires in Hollywood because they want the access to become rich and famous and whatever. But yeah, so a lot of these people, they get into the industry and they subject themselves to whatever they need to in order to make it. You know, recently there was a documentary called An Open Secret. I took a look at some of the Hollywood pedophiles, and this, and what it revealed was there's this ring of people, directors, talent agents, and so on, and they would be the gatekeepers of what it took to become a connected actor. But if you wanted to do this, you had to kind of allow your children to hang out with these sickos.
It's disgusting. And they would,
yeah, and it would give these kids drugs, alcohol, and, you know, make them have sex with them and all this crazy stuff. And it sounds absurd, but, I mean, it's the truth. We just heard Elijah Wood, the actor from Lord of the Rings. He was talking about it. Corey Feldman has been talking about it for years. But the, anyways, to get back to your question, I get off topic sometimes. Yeah, these artists are being used by the Illuminati, who control all of these industries and directed to put these symbols out there. And you can listen to various artists that talk about it. Like, for example, I wrote a hip-hop conspiracy book looking at this exact topic. And in it, I've got a segment of an interview with the rapper 2 Chainz, where he talks about how, you know, he was on the set of this music video. He doesn't really care what's going on. He's just there to take orders from the director. The director's got all these symbols behind him, and he's just there doing his thing, rapping. And later the video comes out. Now there's this symbol on 2 Chainz video, and people are saying 2 Chainz is in the Illuminati. And 2 Chainz is like,
are you there? Folks, it looks like we got disconnected from Isaac. How strange. Hold on 1 second. We'll be right back. So we are back, and we have Isaac back on the line. And strangely enough, he was talking about a conspiracy. We got disconnected. I'm just saying. Maybe there's nothing to it. Maybe just a bad phone signal. But anyway, Isaac, you were telling us about this rapper and a possible conspiracy?
Yes. And first off, I do firmly believe the NSA taps my phone. I hear weird noises and drops and stuff like that every now and then. I haven't really lost any phone calls on my cell phone, which is kind of odd. But
dum-dum-dum.
Anyways, maybe it was just a coincidence. I don't know. Anyways. Yeah, so 2 Chainz was basically talking about how he was on the set of a video. There was a symbol behind him. He wasn't really sure, but he was just told to rap in front of it. So he was just taking orders. That's one example. However, you've got higher level initiates like Jay-Z and Beyonce. Now, these guys, they're at the top of the game. They're the most powerful, most wealthy, most famous entertainers. And it's because they understand the powers of these symbols, and they take direction from the Illuminati. For example, Jay-Z, he wrote a book called Decoded, and he talks about a lot of these same things that these occultists believe in. He says, I believe you can speak things into existence. Mm-hmm. He's talking about the ability of using, you know, ceremonial magic or whatever, and he talks about making his words work on more than one level. And he's talking about using the symbols, like the rock diamond, which is like the triangle. Him and Beyonce are always flashing, especially at the Super Bowl. Beyonce did it. And that's the triangle of manifestation. They're using it to draw powers in and energy in order to, you know, use the energy for their benefit, whether it be for fame, power, wealth, whatever it is.
Interesting.
So, yeah. So some of the people understand it. I think it's very few. I think Kanye West understands it. He's been kind of labeled as a crazy guy going on rants and such. But if you listen to what he says, he says stuff like we're controlled by symbols and signs. He said that a couple of years ago on a show with an interview with Sway Calloway, and Sway told him he wasn't on his square when he was trying to calm him down. What a lot of people don't realize is that the veiled Freemasonic language, where he's saying, look, you're letting out too many secrets. You're not being open and honest with me, and so on. So some of these guys are exposed to it and they can handle it and they do well with it, like Jay-Z and Beyonce. Some of these people are exposed to it and they start to lose their mind a little bit. And others have no idea. And they're just in it to try to get their money and either get out of the system or, you know, keep doing the bidding of the masters.
Interesting. Now, if you think about it, one of the wildest conspiracies out there is, well, first I want to ask you something else. I just remembered. I want to ask you, do you think it works? I mean, obviously you talk about Kanye West, you talk about Jay-Z, you talk about Beyonce, probably some of the most successful, without a doubt, some of the most successful entertainers out here. Do you think this stuff works?
I think it does. I think, however, you're making some kind of little Faustian bargain, whether it be the devil or demonic entities or whatever you want to call it. I mean, I firmly believe in this stuff. They believe in it too. They just choose to take that dark path, whereas I would avoid it. And the reason why I do believe this is because I do know that there is a spiritual realm and then there's a material realm. And I know this because I spent time ghost hunting back in the late 90s before ghost hunting was on TV. I had a friend of mine that was into this stuff and I didn't really believe it. And then I started doing it and dabbling with it. And I've had some like pretty wild stuff happen to me and I kind of had to back out of the whole thing. So yeah, the idea that these people can work something on an energetic level to their advantage. Absolutely. I believe they can.
As I preempted myself there, one of the wildest theories is that of ancient aliens. Now, what's amazing me here, you're looking at different things. Does all this tie together? What did you find about ancient aliens?
Well, it seems to me, at first I thought I was very supportive of ancient aliens because, openly and admittedly, I love the show. I still watch it every time it's on.
Sure.
I think they present some very interesting arguments. Some good questions. But the problem I'm finding is that they are supporting the same agenda that we're finding from these Luciferians in the entertainment industry. They believe that these fallen angels or aliens or whatever you want to call it, they are somehow our true creators or the path to salvation, which to me is all Luciferian doctrine. It's the idea of this Prometheus character who, you know, took the fire from the gods and gave it to mankind in order to help mankind. So they think that the fallen angel is somehow misunderstood and misrepresented, and that we can actually learn the path to self-realization through him. So when you watch Ancient Aliens, look at the end of the show. At the end of the show, you see who creates it. It's a company called Prometheus Entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
So that should tell you right there, there's a Promethean Luciferian doctrine at play. And in fact, they had an episode, and I don't remember what the episode was called. I want to say it was like Ancient Aliens and Lucifer or something like that. And on it, there's several quotes from within. You see David Childress and the like, and they talk about how, you know, Lucifer was misunderstood and he was just a good guy. And, you know, that's what it boils down to, is that's the truth. That's the kernel of truth behind all of this ancient astronaut theory. It's supporting the idea of destroying the world as we know it through nihilism and then rebuilding it according to this new belief of this new era of salvation through these alien gods. But to me, I think that that's all a deception. It's a demonic deception. And what we're doing is we're going to be channeling in these evil spirits and the Antichrist into our world. So now I look at ancient aliens from a little bit different perspective than I did when I wrote A Grand Unified Conspiracy Theory. But hey, you know, it's a journey.
it's a mind bender. It's all a very much a mind bender. And I think, you know, there's some other things in here that we could get into, transhumanism and things. One thing I want to bring up, and this is extremely, these two topics are extremely controversial. In fact, one of them I brought up and we talked about a little bit on a show, and I had people say, I'm not going to listen to your show anymore. And it was kind of like, well, wait a minute. Just because I bring this up doesn't mean I agree with it, but the idea you talked about, Nori, with the idea of getting the theories out there, I think we should have a discussion of things, even if they are very controversial. And the two things I want to talk about now are GMOs and vaccination. Now, for the record, I'm going to say this because I'm going to have some angry listeners out there, but my kids had their vaccinations. I also happen to have a brother who was autistic. So it's something that's very interesting to me. I don't necessarily buy the idea that vaccinations are poison that cause autism. You know, I think a lot of the uptick in autism is just better diagnostics. You know, when my brother, who was born in 1971, he went to the family doctor and a doctor said he was slow. So, I mean, there's a lot better diagnostic tools, maybe even to the point of overdiagnosis at this point. So I don't necessarily, I'm not necessarily anti-vaccination. On the other hand, why are we afraid to talk about it? So talk to us about vaccination and GMOs.
Sure. Yeah, I'm with you. I think we should, you know, our job as the fringe conspiracy theory people is to explore all of these ideas, whether they're popular or not. And, you know, I don't know. I'm on the side of supporting vaccination programs because simply that they work. We wouldn't have eradicated polio without it. I mean, the question is the crap that they're putting into vaccines. I think they should take a look at that. That's obviously there's something going on with the, I think it's called thimerosal and the mercury and crap that they put in it. I think there's definitely dangers involved in vaccines, but I think if you look at it from the perspective of the larger picture, I think it helps more people than it hurts. Unfortunately, it does hurt some people. It's true.
I think you can say that. Let's say that there is something to the fact of vaccinations causing autism. I still would, even having had an autistic brother, I would still get my kids vaccinated, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't talk about that possibility. In fact, I just literally this morning on local TV, I live in the Cleveland area, and there was a gentleman who did a documentary on vaccinations, and it was the one whose movie was banned or film was banned by Robert De Niro's Tribeca Film Festival. And it's like, so why do we have to not talk about these things? I mean, the thing is that you could talk about them and say they're totally wrongheaded. They're absolutely incorrect. It's the same thing. And I'll say this, the global warming, I'm going to really make people mad now, the global warming thing. I'm guessing that we're probably undergoing global warming, but why can't we talk about alternate theories? Because years ago, we talked about the next ice age coming. So what's wrong about talking about alternate theories, even if afterwards we all agree they're wrong? Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm also a proponent of climate change and global warming being a legitimate thing. I think there's man-made climate change, global warming issues. I know a lot of conspiracy theorists are against that idea, but you know, my background is in science. I've got a master's in systems engineering, and I've studied a lot of this stuff from the perspective of the rational mind. And you know, a lot of the stuff they've proven. Now, the question is what they do with it. Like the vaccinations, for example, I believe that they might know it might cause problems, but obviously they don't want to advertise that because people would be scared to take them. But I'm with you where I think if the government says, look, there's a chance these problems might happen. However, you're going to cause more good than harm. I think it's a valid issue we can take a look at. It's tough. I think that the Illuminati, whoever they are, these elites, they would have an interest in keeping all of their kids safe from diseases and such. So what they would want to do is keep the, what they call the herd number, the community number, that's the number of people that actually have taken the vaccination. If you can keep that number at a certain level, like let's say it's 90% of the population needs to have a polio vaccine in order for it to be, stay like eradicated. Well, if they know that 90% of the population has already taken it, then they can say, oh, okay, well, I don't need my kids to have take this shot. Everyone else has. That would be the most controversial thing about the vaccinations, I believe, if there is some kind of conspiracy behind it. But I do believe that they work. I think they're scientifically proven to work. I don't think there's any reason to doubt that they work. I think there are controversies within it with the preservatives they use and the potential for these certain bloodlines to try to not take them, so they want our kids to take them.
Now, I asked you about it, but I interrupted you and interrupted myself about 17 times there. So talk to us about GMOs. You know, one thing, and food in general, because the observation I think everybody has made over the last 30 or 40 years, particularly in America, and we see it in other parts of the world where the American diet has been exported, is that you have these large percentages of diabetes and people being overweight. Now, I tend to think some of that is that people used to do manual labor, and a lot less people do manual labor these days, whether people are, collecting off the government dole, or if they're like me and they sit in a chair all day behind a computer screen. So I think that's part of it, our lack of activity, where people used to, dig a ditch and swing a sledgehammer. But our diets have radically changed post-World War II. Can you talk about our diets and GMOs and the food that we're eating and how it may be killing us?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. See, that's one of the things that led me down this path of, researching demonic aliens and stuff like that. It all started very rational, and I was finding, weird conspiracies within politics and big pharma, but also in the food industry. I lost my father at a young age because he was not healthy and he didn't kind of watch what he ate. That got him. So I tried to stay healthy and watch all of my cholesterol levels and that kind of thing. So I researched several books. Michael Pollan was a huge source of information, and he talked about how there's this whole, big food industry. And what they do is they take a certain fertilizer called NPK, and they use it. I think it's nitrogen, potassium, something else. Anyways, they use that in conjunction with these genetically modified organisms that were created by these food industries and people like Monsanto and the like. And what they do is they found a way to make large profit margins on the food. And with that comes stuff like the high fructose corn syrup used as a sweetener. And all of this stuff finds its way into our food supply. And that's where you get all these processed foods from. Well, as it turns out, all these processed foods are terrible for you. There's no nutrients in it. Everything within it is dead. And in fact, some of the stuff turns out to be worse than they originally imagined. Like there was the strain of sweet corn called BT corn. And in it, there was like this, it was genetically modified corn that had some kind of toxin in it that would kill off bugs that would kind of crawl on it and used to kill the farmers' crops. So they've since banned it, I believe, but they found that it was giving people problems from it. So like how many years were people taking in this science project before they finally said, oh crap, we better change this, And they do this, it's all throughout the industry. And that's why you see these big companies paying these lobbyists to keep GMO labeling from being a mandatory thing in our American food system, while in Europe, they have to put it on the labels that it's genetically modified. But here it doesn't happen because there's too much financial interest involved. And the whole food industry, from the cattle feedlots and the way they treat the animals, it's pretty inhumane as well. They've got these poor chickens in these chicken farms. They got them crammed in these little cages. They don't get daylight. They saw their beaks off so they don't, because they go crazy and they start pecking at themselves and killing themselves. So they saw their beaks off in order to solve that problem. When it's like, dude, just don't treat these animals that way, you know? So like, you know, and I'm a big, you know, animal activist. I'm not like necessarily throwing paint on people like PETA or nothing, but it's kind of, I try to buy food that's from people that treat their animals humanely and try to stay off of that mainstream GMO fed Monsanto crap. Cause I think that stuff is a huge piece of the obesity epidemic that we're in as a country right now.
Now, I can absolutely buy the fact that big companies, huge multinational corporations say, okay, we are going to, we're going to have this box of cereal, insert brand name here. I won't mention any brand names. Don't want to get sued. Anyway, but I can understand that they and their suppliers say, how can we make this, I don't even know what quantity is it coming in, 1 pound box of cereal cheaper and put junk in it so we can make more money. I'm totally on board and can totally believe that. But where does that tie into things like, other than just the plain old greed and profit motive, where does that tie into things like the Illuminati? Or does it?
Well, some people claim that the chemicals that they put in the food has a certain reaction in our bodies, makes us more open and vulnerable to mind control type stuff, manipulation. I haven't necessarily found that to be true per se. So I'd be hesitant to, you know, go out on that limb and say for sure it's a far darker conspiracy than that. I'm with you. I think it's just a pure profit motive. It's trying to get as much money as they can, which just goes into greed and, you know, wealth and hoarding and all this kind of power that these Illuminati types seek. And they don't really care about their fellow man and woman. And they would gladly deceive everybody and make them sick and die in order to, you know, get a second yacht or whatever it is they do when you have that much money.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there is corporate greed. I think anybody, and I think I'm what I call a compassionate capitalist. I mean, I believe in the profit motive. I believe in business. I believe in making a profit and in having a business. You give people jobs. You rightfully earn the rewards for your hard work. I'm totally on board with that. But I think when it comes to profiteering at the expense of others, in terms of harming people mentally or physically and trying to squeeze the last nickel out so you can make maximum profits. That's where I draw the line. So I call myself a compassionate capitalist.
I like that. I'm going to start using that too. That's kind of how I feel about it. I think capitalism is the best system we've got. I by no means would want us to go to some kind of communist type situation. But I do believe that these people that are in the top 1% of the top 1% are destroying the world as we know it through greed. And you know, that's the, like if you look at any kind of study on the wealth disparity gap, like it's growing every year. It gets worse and worse where the people at the bottom have less and less, people at the top have more and more, and people want to pretend it's something it's not. Like when they talk about the minimum wage argument, you know, I get that different areas, different states may need different levels of minimum wage, but the fact of the matter is people can't live off of the minimum wage the way it is. And, you know, I talk to people and they say, well, you know, if they need to raise the prices of the food, then they're going to have to lay off workers or raise the price, you know, figure out a way around it. Like, well, no, I mean, the CEOs are making unprecedented multiple times what their common workers make. It's a pure greed standpoint. And that's the byproduct of Aleister Crowley's Aeon of Horus, with this whole idea of self-realization and being narcissistic. And all of this stuff is kind of what the Illuminati game plan is. It's the idea of man becoming God, which is what you find in every occult belief system. And that's the byproduct of this. Instead of thinking of everyone in the community and what helps everyone make things happen, it's all about what you can get out of it.
Now, let me ask you this then. you know, I do the paranormal podcast. I do the campfire. We do these ghost shows. We do the UFO shows. In your view, and it's okay if you feel this way, do you think when we delve in these things, even if it's not, you know, I'm obviously do not have any Illuminati overlords that I know of. I don't have somebody saying, Jim, put out a podcast on this. But do you think that people like me are inadvertently like promoting the occult or these things that might actually have darker, darker backgrounds? And it's okay if you do. I ask the question.
No, I think it's important to have someone taking a look at this stuff. The only problem would be that if, you know, we're talking about like contacting the ghosts and the UFOs and stuff. And while I believe that to be true, I think some people may not be able to handle that. And they might end up going down this path of trying to make contact with these demonic spirits and potentially become possessed by them. So, you know, it's a fine line of like, you know, I would like the information to be presented. I think it's an interesting topic, and I think it's something that the mainstream entertainment channels aren't really doing well. So I think it's kind of a double-edged sword. You kind of got to understand what the attitude is of these occultists or these maybe occult beliefs and practices. You have to understand how they work and then kind of make choice for yourself as to, you know, which side you want to be on of that argument. Do you want to pursue this kind of thing, or do you want to kind of like understand that some people are into this and it might lead them down the wrong path? You know, it's purely subjective, and trying to discern between what you want to do with it is, you know, it's ultimately up to the person listening. Was that a political enough answer for you?
Very good. Very well done. That's a good way to put it. Well, the thing is that I like to present the information and then let people decide for themselves. I try to almost play the part of what I think old-time journalists used to do, and they used to try to play it down the middle. Now, I do, when it comes to ghosts and UFOs, I call myself a skeptical believer. I may be skeptical about any one claim, but I think in general there's definitely something going on. What it is, I don't know. And I think that most people who say they know what's going on, they don't really know either. But I do believe something is going on. And even with conspiracies, the same thing. I think there's definitely some things out there. The food conspiracy in terms of getting the cost down and the profits up at the expense of health, I absolutely can believe that. JFK assassination, I think anybody looks at the facts of something like that and says there was no conspiracy, I think is misleading themselves. That's just my opinion. But in general, you know, I'll have people on that I absolutely personally disagree with, but they have every right to get their theory out there and let people decide. And we thank you, Isaac. And I'm not saying I disagree with everything you say, by the way. I'm just saying that as a general point. But nevertheless, I'm glad that you took time to be with us. It's been a fun conversation about a lot of wide-ranging stuff. We couldn't cover it all here. Certainly, folks can pick up your book. Where can people pick up your book and find out more about everything that Isaac Weishaupt does?
You can get it on Amazon. I've got several books. I've got the Grand Unified Conspiracy Theory. It's about the Illuminati, ancient aliens, transhumanism. Then I've also got a very popular hip hop conspiracy book called Sacrifice Magic Behind the Mic. And then I've got several others. They range from shorter books to longer books. Anyways, they're all on Amazon. They're on iTunes. They're on IlluminatiWatcher.com. I've got a shop page, and what that'll do is link you to the Gumroad store that I've got set up. Or lately, I've been narrating books for Audible. And I've got a Grand Unified Conspiracy Theory on there as well. And there's a great narrator named Eric Burns who did that. Since then, I've done all of the books that you see posted. I'm still working on the hip-hop conspiracy book. Perhaps by the time the listener hears this, it'll be available on Audible. But yeah, it's all over the web. Just kind of look for Isaac Weishaupt's books, and you'll find it. So yeah, thanks.
Great stuff. Isaac Weishaupt, the book that we talked about today is A Grand Unified Conspiracy Theory, The Illuminati, Ancient Aliens, and Pop Culture. Thank you for joining us today, Isaac.
Thank you. It's been great.
And thank you for tuning into the Conspiracy Corner. We appreciate it, and I'm sure Isaac would agree. Watch when you're going around the corner, there just might be a conspiracy. We'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye, everybody.
All right, what'd you guys think of that? If you liked it, check out jimherald.net. You can subscribe to his shows. If you like the content you're hearing right here on conspiracy theories and unpopular culture, please leave a review or rating on iTunes or Stitcher. That tells me if I'm doing good, if I should keep this project going or not. Most of you know I don't do great at public speaking or podcasting in general. My theme is more of writing and YouTube videos, so... I like doing the podcast. It's fun. I think that's the best way for you and I to connect because it's easy. It's easy for you guys to listen to on the way to work or working out or whatever it is you're doing. So I appreciate it. And I listen to a ton of podcasts, so I get it. But the more popularity there is behind this, the more I will devote more time to it. Right now I'm working on a couple books that'll probably be out hopefully by the end of 2016, maybe 2017. Who knows? Sometimes I get a wild hair in my ass to write, and I'll just bang out a book in a couple weeks, so we'll see what happens. Thanks for all the kind words I'm getting on Facebook, Twitter, the reviews I'm reading on Amazon. You guys really are the best. I appreciate it a ton. Don't think that the stuff you're saying or doing goes unnoticed. I see it all. I might not have the time to write back or respond to the comments, but I legitimately read through them. It might be at a fast rate that I'm not able to reply, but I see them, and I want to thank you very much. Because that's what keeps me going. If you want more of this kind of thing, you can check out the audible.com website on which you'll find the Isaac Weishaupt books. Most of them are self-narrated by myself, and there is one on there by Eric Burns, who was a great narrator, and he did A Grand Unified Conspiracy Theory, which talks about the Illuminati, ancient aliens, and pop culture. You can check out any of the books that are on there. Pretty much the whole volume of Illuminati Watcher books are available on Audible. I've got a new shipment of paperbacks in. If you wanted an autographed copy of any of the Isaac Weishaupt Illuminati Watcher books, they are all available. Go to IlluminatiWatcher.com, go to the Shop tab, and in there you'll find links to the Isaac Weishaupt Gumroad store, on which you can find the links to the signed paperbacks that will ship right to your door, personally autographed right to you. If these are a gift for someone else, please just email me right away, IlluminatiWatcher@gmail.com, and I will sign them to the lucky recipient. Thanks again for listening. Talk to you guys later.
The sweet aromas of the apple fritter, cinnamon roll, and blueberry muffin are hard to resist. So making it home without reaching in your McDonald's bag is no easy task. But nothing worth doing is easy. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating McDonald's.
The new year comes with new ways for pros to save at Lowe's. Like when you're ready to tackle your taxes, we'll help you save up to $100 off federal tax preparation when you file through TurboTax. All you have to do is sign up to become a Lowe's Pro Loyalty member by January 25th, and the savings is yours. This exclusive offer is for new Lowe's Pro Loyalty members only, so sign up at lowesforpros.com/proloyalty. Lowe's, the new home for pros. Discount valid on select TurboTax services through October 15th. More terms apply. U.S. only.